It's the week beginning the 19th of August 2008. This is DSB Pod Radio. Hello there, I am Dudley Scarrant. Apparently a cross between Alan Carr and Gok Wan in the looks department. That's what I saw over the weekend anyway, not that I quite see the resemblance. I'll be with you for the next 15 to 20 minutes or so. Keep your stuff coming in through the Facebook site. Leave comments on the wall and on the discussion boards. myspace.com/DudleyBeale is the MySpace address to find out more about me as well. You can also email the show dsbpodradio@podomatic.com. Lots to discuss, and I'll also be reversing some more songs to get some hidden messages as well. So sit back, relax, and enjoy. You know it makes sense. Start the show, as always, with your wall posts. A couple to get through. Shazzy Dare, still trying to send me the long-awaited reports, but I've emailed her, she's emailed me, so hopefully we will get that in the near future, hopefully next week's show. Apparently it didn't email across very well because it was too big to send, so I've asked her to post it to me instead. So hopefully, I've emailed you the address if you're listening, so post me the onto a CD and I'll do that, I will put that up for you. Moving on, Shazzy also wrote, "Wow, yay, Dudley singing. Request, how about The Reason by Hoobastank?" Well, I don't know the song that well. I'll get to know the song, and hopefully I'll put that on, and hopefully get a video, well, maybe the audio track up for that for a future show. Hopefully, I'll try. Tammy also wrote, "Loved the singing, by the way. You sounded really good. Will you still remember me when you're famous?" Of course I will. Also saying, "Really good show as always. I religiously listen every week now." And Chris Flam ends on this note. He wants to know where he can get a bottle of Chardonnay for 89p. It sounds perfect for people on bingo wages. This is based on the very cheap wedding plans from a couple last week. Actually, I have had a look at the site, not to get the cheap Chardonnay, but there is an update on the story on the website where I get my stories from, saying they're now happily married, and it's all going well. So congratulations to that happy couple. 89p a bottle for Chardonnay. I'm just trying to think where that you can get that from. Not that I drink Chardonnay, and it's probably going to be really... It's probably stuff that's going to taste like vinegar. At that price, it's probably going to taste like you're sipping vinegar. Mind you, bingo wages. I don't know. I mean, some supermarkets got pretty good deals. I usually drink red wine. A nice bottle of Cabernet Sauvignon. Or a nice bottle of Merlot. Lovely. Mind you, Wetherspoons do very cheap glasses of wine. Especially on Wednesdays. Very nice. I feel like getting drunk now, but I can't. It's a bit too late, and I've got work tomorrow. So I'll try and find out where you can get a bottle of wine for 89p, because that does sound intriguing, and I might try some if that price. Now, it doesn't speak to you or give you live traffic updates, but the world's first sat-nav was invented in the 1920s. I've actually seen a picture of this in the paper. You might have seen a picture of it as well. Basically, the Plus 4's route finder was designed to be worn on the wrist, relying on good old-fashioned paper maps around wooden rollers, which the driver turned as he went along. The tiny scrolls also showed the mileage and gave a stop instruction at the journey's end. Now, the device was intended to allow drivers to navigate around the UK, but with so few cars on the roads, it never really took off. Now consigned to the scrap heap of history, the Route Finder is one of many gadgets patented by inventors who are hoping to strike it rich with their bizarre contraption. So that's all part of a collection of weird and wonderful inventions, all conceived between 1851 and 1951, which have gone on display at the British Library in London. Other gadgets include a clockwork burglar alarm, a candle blower outer, a mechanical page turner, and a skirt lifter, which are tongs fitted to women's waistbands to lift their skirts clear of puddles. Now, I've noticed a major flaw with this 1920s sat-nav. Alright, say you're wearing this thing round your wrist while you're steering a car, possibly with one or two hands, even one with the gear. How are you going to see the display on your wrist, and how are you managing to turn the wheel around while trying to drive your car? That's probably why it didn't take off. Nothing to do with few cars on the roads. I mean, it's like trying to set your watch while driving. You can't do it. I actually saw the picture. It does. In theory, it looks quite clever. like having the scrolling map going across as you go across the journey. But you can't do three things at once. You're trying to look at, say, a thing on your wrist, drive your car when your hands are in different position, so you have to keep flicking your wrist so you can see it, while turning around the cogs. It does not make sense. So that's probably why it never took off. I mean, if you haven't got a sat-nav, just buy the A to Z, it's easier. Now for news found from our bingo correspondent, Christopher Lamb. A bingo-loving pensioner from Bracknell could soon be staying with her stepson in the White House. Now, this may sound unlikely, but if the race to be the next president goes as pundits predict, it could easily happen. Democratic hopeful Barack Obama remains a frontrunner to take over from George Bush in the Oval Office. His Family Guy image has won voters of all ages and races across America. But, well, yet less well known is his Kenyan background and the influence of an English pensioner has on his life. For while Barack crisscrosses America on the campaign trail, his stepmother, Kezia Obama, who's 67, lives quietly here in the UK. Many of her neighbours in Bracknell have no idea she is related to the media's man of the moment. She spends her time playing bingo and socialising in the Berkshire town, where she has lived for 5 years. But she still makes time to keep up with Barack's political progress on the television. Now Kezia must wait, watching her small television in Bracknell, to see if he will become the world's most powerful man. "I pray every night that he becomes president because it's what he wants," she said. "I think he'd make a good president. He'll make everyone in America closer together. But whatever happens, he'll always be my stepson and I'll always love him." Kezia doesn't know if she will go to America for the election, but asked if she fancies living in the White House, she burst into laughter and said, "Maybe, you'll never know." Now my phone's going off. Well, attempting to go off while I was doing that story. That story was found from the Daily Mirror. I've had to cut it down slightly for this so I can fit it on the show. But thank you to Christopher Lamb for that story. Meanwhile, still a bit slow going on the other correspondents, especially John Shackle. Now, you said you were going to be the sports correspondent and you have yet to actually send me anything. So I'm going to say, if you don't send me anything for next week, you're fired. It may sound harsh, but you've signed up to be a correspondent, so correspond. I mean, you've already missed a sitter with the first week of the Premier League and the Olympics, so please, send me something in, John, or you will be fired. You've been warned. I can be a harsh boss at times. Now, a couple of weeks ago, I reversed some Queen songs to get hidden messages about their loving of marijuana, and I think that show is still up there for the last week. But I've tried it on a Britney Spears song. Now, I'll let you make up your own minds on this one. Here is the clip in forwards motion. And now when I reverse it, she seems also more forthcoming. See, she wasn't even that innocent back then. See, reverse songs get secret messages. Any more ideas, please let me know on the usual methods of contact. dsbpodradio.podomatic.com. Now, Chris Lem has been back on, not so much a story, but more of a warning to people who use Facebook. If you're listening to this show, you probably are using Facebook. He has just been given a formal warning for bringing the company that he works for into disrepute with regards to some of his posts on the site. It seems that his head office is watching at these sites and do not like the freedom of speech it offers people. He has also been told copies of all his comments are now on file, and it can affect any promotion, pay rise, or indeed a reference if he goes for another job. Now, he feels this is a little unfair, as everyone has the right to free speech. It's obvious that the head office has noticed some of the staff are getting a bit pissed off with the company at the minute. So, you have all been warned. Also, he's launched the discussion board, a brand new one. Should companies be able to hold comments made on Facebook against you, please discuss. It's not really just Facebook, it's other social networking sites as well, such as MySpace or Bebo and those sort of sites. Is it fair? Does it take away our freedom of speech? What do you think? Shazzy Dare has been on. She thinks it's wrong just because someone says something online that a potential employee doesn't agree with. It doesn't mean they're going to be like that in front of customers. And besides, everyone is entitled to their own opinion. Everyone has an opinion. If they hide it away because a company might not agree with it, then they are not being themselves. Now, it kind of goes hand in hand with this show. Although I'm not regulated by Ofcom, as far as I know, being an internet program, and I'm not broadcasting. I err on the side of caution that I'm not out to offend anyone. I know I'm all up for freedom of speech and freedom of media and all that, but I'm not one of those people who will offend on here just for the sake of being offensive. I know I may cross the line sometimes, like for a sketch or for a joke, but I don't make the whole show offensive just for the sake of being offensive. If I swear on the show, it's bleeped. I mean, I set myself certain guidelines in my own mind as how a show should be run. So if I do offend anyone on the show, if you do want to complain, please do, if anything that I do say is offensive. But I always look myself to see of some guidelines for myself. It's not that I'm not having an opinion, it's that I have to, on here, doctor my opinion somewhat so it doesn't offend others. So I'm not going to prattle on about politics or be biased to one political party. I'm not going to make outrageous racist comments or class comments. I'm not going to, you know, swear frequently, uncensored, and just set. I don't set out to offend anyone on this show, and I want to make it as if I am broadcasting a proper show on proper radio, and that is pretty much my mandate for the whole thing since I started back in January. So, but if you do have any complaints about this program, that I am overstepping the mark sometimes, please do email me privately and I will make an apology and I will rectify the situation. So that is my view on freedom of speech and also media freedoms. But having the case of people getting under disciplinary action, stuff like that, just because of what they've written on the website, I mean, is a bit stupid. Because, okay, so this show's on the internet, on the website, but I don't aim out to offend. Now, a woman is selling a flat along with its contents that include her stubborn stepfather who refuses to move out. The Swedish lawyer inherited the top floor studio apartment when her mother died a few years ago, and now she wants to sell it. But she has failed to convince her stepfather to budge from the property, which overlooks Stockholm's trendy Södermalm district, despite a court order obliging him to do so, reports the Daily Telegraph. The 52-year-old man has remained in the flat under a joint ownership clause, but that has now been ruled invalid. So, in a bizarre case of buy one, get one free, the woman says the apartment will be sold to the highest bidder, furnished, complete with a stepfather. Matt Lundquist, a lawyer involved in the case, warned it could get very messy. Whoever buys the flat will have to organise the current tenant's eviction, as clearly outlined in the advertisement we ran in the weekend's papers. This is what he told the local, Sweden's English language newspaper. The apartment in Södermalm will go up for auction on the 26th of August, but prospective buyers should be warned that viewings ahead of the sale may prove difficult, as the current tenant is refusing to let anyone in. Now for the relaunch of the Random Irritations board. So, what really gets on your nerves? Tammy wrote, Sunday drivers. They think it's safe to drive like idiots and be in the wrong lane and drive at 40 miles per hour on the motorway just because it's a Sunday. It drives me mad. Ah! And Christopher Lamb, again. I think you're edging for promotion here. Crawlers. Old people who walk really slow so you can't get past, and people who stop dead in the street to look in shop windows, causing you to walk into them. Walk like you've got a purpose, people. I absolutely hate that. I think someone wrote earlier on the post a couple of months ago about people who walk really slowly. Now, I cannot stand that. I mean, it's really annoying when you're walking down and people just stop. It's like, oh, and you've got to just weave past them as well. And I'm wearing headphones, so I don't focus that much around me because I've got music on. So I'm weaving, especially Ballroom High Street, weaving around, and shopping centres as well. You're weaving around, almost walking, people walking out of shops like, oh, sorry. Oh, sorry. Oh, sorry. It's like, speed up. You can walk. Walk. But then again, I'm probably guilty of stopping sometimes when I walk, but I always make sure there's no one else around me, especially if I'm sparking up a cigarette or something. I have to stop to do it, because otherwise the wind blows and I can't light it up. But I always make sure I'm out of the way first. I mentioned last week about my random irritation about an over-advertised TV channel. I actually watched this new channel, and it's actually surprisingly good. I was rocking out, over the weekend, when I got back from a trip to Warsaw, work trip up there. And I was rocking out to the V-Festival, it was fantastic. So this new channel is good, but maybe not as many maybe it doesn't need as many, it didn't need the whole bulk advertising it did have. Oh well. But now again, a certain radio station is doing the same sort of thing, where they're bulk advertising the fact that they're changing. Keep your random irritations coming in on the discussion board. I want to hear what really annoys you and what really, really irritates you and you cannot stand. Now, Welsh Bachelor has finally seen the light and had his home wired up for electricity. Hubert Hilling, who lives in a remote country cottage in Kilgetty, Pembrokeshire, has paid £5,000 to get the power installed. The 60-year-old tour guide is thrilled. "It's fantastic. I keep switching lights on and off," he told the Sun. "They all come on at once instead of having to be lit with a match." Mr. Hilling decided to take the plunge after one of his gas lights exploded and almost started a blaze. He was warned that his 300-year-old mud and straw bungalow was a fire risk. Now, he has no plans to buy a fridge or a TV, but he has already treated himself to a toaster, a food mixer, and an electric iron, which he is now getting to grips with. He says, "Before, I used to use a black-leaded one, which I heated on the stove. I had to be careful to avoid black marks. Now I can iron my trousers in less than half an hour." Mr. Hilling still doesn't have running water, like his parents and grandparents before him. He makes a daily 5-minute walk to a well to fill 2 buckets. Now, it's amazing how we take certain things for granted, like electricity. I mean, I've got my laptop on, electricity running through it, I've got my lights on, so I can actually see what I'm doing. I mean, okay, all the rest of stuff's in standby. No, it's turned off. Apart from my skybox, but here we go. He's 6 years old and he's gone this far without electricity and he's only just got power installed. £5,000 though to get rigged up. It just goes to show what people do take for granted. No plans to buy a fridge or TV though. So he won't be connecting himself to the internet like a certain British great granny. She's become the oldest person on Facebook. 102-year-old Ivy Bean has decided it was time to get herself some online action when she heard about the site through staff at her care home where she lives. Her carers helped Ivy set up her profile, and the former mill worker from West Yorkshire now uses it to keep in touch with friends and family. Ivy told The Sun, "I heard about Facebook and wanted to know what it was about. I love being online and it beats writing with a pen. More and more people are on Facebook now, but at 102, I have a lot to put on about myself," she said. "I've only got 9 friends on the net at the moment," well, this was earlier this week, "but she's hoping for lots more. She's going to put some of her photos up on her page." Ivy lives at Hillside Manor in Bradford. Boss Pat Wright said, "Ivy loves going on Facebook. We're trying to keep all our residents independent by letting them use the computer." The great grand also plans to try out a Nintendo Wii. Now, this Ivy Bean, there's actually, you can actually become a fan of her on Facebook. So I think she, since this story was launched, I think it was Friday in The Sun, since the story featured there, I think she's got a hell of a lot more than 9 friends now. I think everyone's wanting to be her friend. I just think it's fantastic. 102 years old and she's still, and she's using Facebook. You never know, I might actually send her an invite to this very program. That could be a plan. I might send her an invite for her to listen to this program. I wonder if she'll accept. And with that story of a Silver Surfer, it is time to end the show. Thank you for listening, as always. Thank you for subscribing, and thank you for leaving your comments. And for once, I've finally made the show pretty much 20 minutes long. Until next time, I've been Dudley Scarrett, still am. Bye-bye. This has been a download and production from DSB Pod Radio. To find out more and to listen to previous shows, visit dsbpodradio.podomatic.com.